CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Wednesday morning, CliffCentral.com on the 28th of July. And we are joined this morning by Bulelo Tinta, by Michael Flax, and most especially by you. Yes. How's it, Flax? How you doing, dude?
Oh, feeling good, living better.
Feeling good, even though it's this, even though you were complaining like 5 seconds ago about how freezing cold it is. Horrible, right?
No,
only evil. Only the wicked people wake up at this time of the morning in this cold.
I complain, but I have solutions for the cold.
What's the solution?
I think I have an iron deficiency, so I'm going to go get that checked out this week.
Really?
If you low in iron, you feel a lot colder. So I'm going to go for one. I've never been for one, but I was researching it last night. I'm going to go for one of those full blood works where they check out like
everything,
your iron levels. Yeah. And I was watching, I don't know if you've seen that series on Netflix called The Good Doctor.
Oh, yeah.
I was inspired by watching that. And I was like, let me just get myself checked out.
Nice.
I don't even know where to go. Do you go to like a normal doctor for that?
You'd go to the pathologists. They'll do a little blood sample. You have to give them about a, I don't know, about 17 liters of blood. No, I'm kidding. It's about...
you can do a finger prick. No. You can do a finger prick.
Really? You don't have to give them the whole test tube full?
Yes.
Really?
No, we don't need to...
Really?
We don't need to donate to the blood bank. I mean...
Well, that's,
come on, guys. It's 2021.
That's good news.
We're not still doing, if a woman can read, we kind of deem her a witch or chop her head off.
Oh, I thought that was still going. all right. Well, what a pity. I had several witches I was ready to burn this afternoon. Now you've put a huge spanner in the works. What am I going to do now? How am I going to entertain myself today?
Burn the witch!
These iron deficiencies or whatever else it is. I mean, like there are a lot of people who suffer from all kinds of chemical imbalances. I mean, you could get it all checked out now and they'll be able to, the turnaround time is so quick as well because the machine does it. You know, it's not even humans who are doing it, but it used to be that someone would have to observe it, do all the chemical tests one by one. That's also why they needed a lot of blood, right, Bulelo?
Yeah, no, back then, and plenty of mistakes back then. But now, have you ever seen how those machines get
like
going?
It's like a centrifuge.
Like a super spinner. Yeah.
It is a spinner or something.
Yeah, and then it gets all the red blood cells down to the bottom. You got, what do they call that stuff? The in-between stuff, not serum. What is it? Blood, God, I've just gone completely blank on this. I can't remember. Anyway, I mean, it's a pretty interesting thing to be able to do. I'd actually love to have a pathologist on the show one day to explain how all that stuff works because it's pretty amazing. I mean, you know, that we've got people who wake up in the morning and go and do these tests and they obviously think it's just my job, you know. And for us, it's just amazing. It's amazing to see what they get up to. Plasma,
figure out your body.
Yeah, there's the word.
How your body operates.
Absolutely.
What does things. I just wish I could read the report instead of them because I don't trust the doctors afterwards in case they miss something. So I'd like to be able to read their report, stare at it for a couple of days.
And you're going
to
know what they're talking about?
And you'll know.
How cool that would be.
Oh.
You can be like, oh, my bilirubin's high or low or my iron's high or low and this is what I got to do. And then you don't have to just take someone's word for it. You can actually just form your own solid opinion.
Yeah, but you're not going to know what the hell to look for in a report like that. You're not going to know what it means.
Yeah, but if I did, you see, I would take that report. I would take it to two doctors afterwards just to be sure. And that's the kind of thing I would do.
Sound a bit paranoid there.
I just want to understand the inner workings of my body, why I'm cold, why I do this, or why I'm tired sometimes.
Why you're cold has nothing to do with the inside works. It has to do with the miserable temperature of the outside world. That's what it is.
No, but like you have your levels of being cold, and then there's me, who's on like the far end of this, and I need to figure out why my hands are cold and why I get colder than others.
You probably got bad circulation.
Yeah, so apparently iron will sort out bad circulation, and I can't be the only one with bad circulation.
It'll help, but I mean, circulation is also a heart thing, so it might not have anything to do with your iron levels. It might have to do with your heart just not pumping the blood around properly. That could be it.
You see?
Yeah.
underlying effects. I now need to go to a cardiologist as well.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my Lord, this guy.
Okay, now, you know what you've just done? You've just spent, like, 15 grand without even getting a result. Unbelievable.
I have a diagnosis before I've gone in from Google.
I know. Listen, that's the worst thing you can do is go online and get a doctor, an online WebMD opinion, because they always tell you you've got cancer. You're definitely going to die, right? You go into WebMD, you've got a sore throat. They're like, oh, no, it's definitely cancer, because you know what happens. They line up all the different symptoms, and they're like, these are the four possible things you could have. And then you go, oh, God, I've got 5 minutes to live. It's a disaster.
You know, there's like online doctors whereby, so I had a knee operation like a few months ago for my meniscus,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted a second opinion on the ultrasounds and the MRIs.
Yeah.
You can literally take the you know, they give you like a disc and they put the MRI on the disc.
Mm-hmm.
You can take that file and you can pay a doctor, like, I think it was like $30 online, and he can review it and he can send you basically an email back on his opinion for that MRI.
Now, I'm all in favor of that. That sounds very efficient. That sounds like I mean, all they're doing is really looking at a record, you know, and then they're busy deducing from that what the hell's going on inside you and where you need to be careful. That's cool. But, you know, you can also get really paranoid about these things. I mean, if you look for a problem, you'll find it. Isn't that true?
My parents raised me that you always get a second opinion from another doctor if it's like a serious case. Do you guys do that?
Well, I mean, if it's a serious case, but you know, if my regular MD, if my regular general practitioner says to me, it looks like you have flu, then that's sufficient. I don't need to go and get a second opinion on that. I mean, if it's important stuff, if it's like, you know, something I need to have an operation for, which, thank God, hasn't happened for a long time.
That's where the money's at. It's these big ticket items. So people are quick to pick up the scalpel and say, oh, it's this, you need an operation. That's what scares me in today's society. Dude.
But, you know, like, that's always the last resort. Bulelo, have you ever been for a serious operation?
I did my ACL as a when I played football.
Right.
Other than that, zip.
What is that again? The anterior cruciate ligament, right? Ligament.
Correct. They're very common. It's like the cold if you play football.
It's in the knee.
Correct.
I went to get my meniscus portion removed, and how common is this? And they told me it's as common as getting your wisdoms out back in the day.
Okay. My meniscus. It's not something you bring up at a braai. You're like, I had my meniscus operated on last week. Somebody's like, oh, Jesus, that's disgusting. Please don't bring that up while we're busy with the chops.
You have no idea. You should bring up knee operations. They are so common. I've been to bras where I've been like, oh, no, I haven't been running much because I had my meniscus repaired or removed. And people at the bra are like, oh, same here. I had ACL like 3 weeks ago. Which doctor did you use? It is a great talking topic for bras.
If you're looking for
if there's any injury that you have commonality with people.
Dude.
It's got to be,
but that is all old people do is compare like war injuries and injuries of the body and problems and saw this and saw that. I can't have those conversations with people. It's certain conversations get very boring very quickly. And if you're looking for things and you need to find something to talk about, sure. But please, you can do this for Michael Flax. If you meet him at a braai, go for it. But if you meet me at a braai,
meniscus.
Exactly. Talk about his meniscus. But if you meet me at a braai, let's just avoid that conversation. I'm not going to stay interested for very long. So Vince wants to know, Bulelo. Vince wants to know: did Tatiana Schoonmaker make the Olympic team's felt schooner? Because she's a Schoonmaker.
Took me a second. Very good. TB determined.
Great. Yeah, that's very good.
If the shoe fits.
Yeah. Also, Sunry says doctors aren't exactly cashing in these days with elective surgeries being put on hold. That's true. There are lots of doctors who can't actually do the elective surgeries that they would normally do because they've got no space in the hospitals for them with COVID and everything. So, you know, a lot of doctors are sitting at home. A lot of doctors have to do the stuff that they normally wouldn't be doing. They're not in surgery. And certainly during, you know, a time when the hospitals are overrun, then you're not going to find space in there for all that kind of thing. So there are a lot of doctors running around with time on their hands at the moment.
But they're still doing like consults via Zoom or something and charging the exact same price.
Yeah. I mean, their qualification is not diminished just because they can't see you in a hospital. You still need them to do the guesswork if there's something wrong or there's something that you need to check out, right? Listen.
Flex, what do you want? A hug and a sucker.
Yeah, what do you want? What do you want from them? Is that what you go for?
I shouldn't be told everything will be all right.
Okay.
Patients who Google are a doctor's biggest eye roll, says Tracy. Oh, yeah. Yeah, ask a doctor. Well, I looked this up on Google. They go, oh, no, this idiot. Now they think they're an MD as well.
My doctor hates me because the first few seconds I'm in there, I'm giving him my diagnosis, and then I want his diagnosis, then we'll compare notes afterwards.
I can already tell I'd hate to be your doctor. If I were your doctor, I'd kill myself.
I would hate to be my doctor.
Oh, man. All right. So what's been going on, Flax? What's the news in your world? We need to get an update. It's been a little while.
Well, my world's exciting. I started a new job since we last spoke. So that's been keeping me very busy.
You've been moving around like a whore from job to job, hey?
I know. This is my third job during a pandemic, but all good moves and all productive moves in the right direction.
Right.
So I now I work for a company called 365 Digital, and I work on the TikTok app. Putting advertising on there, which is a lot of fun.
That's very good.
Awesome.
Nice stuff. I mean, TikTok is just growing in leaps and bounds, right? I mean, there's so much going on that app at the moment. There isn't a day now where I don't get, and I'm not on TikTok, but I get forwarded TikTok videos from people all the time. It's where all the funny stuff is happening. It's where all the interesting stuff is happening. Like, you cannot afford not to be on there if you are, you know, a content creator. You have to be on TikTok.
I was chatting to a mate last night, and he'd never, ever used TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got into the discussion of how the youths nowadays are completely different to what we are and what we like. He's like, what music do they like? And I was like, mumble rap. Like, these rap songs, you can't even hear what they're saying. And he's like, what do they like to do? And I'm like, their parties are completely different to the parties we had. And everything the youths like 16 and up, I battled to understand. Like, I went to a club in Cape Town, I think it was like 2 years ago, and I walked in and it was like a much younger crowd.
Yeah.
I've never heard the songs before. I've never seen those dance moves before. I was like in a different universe. I just don't get it.
Yes. No, that's exactly right.
So do you have a cool like title, Michael? I know I know you're saying the youth, but are you still in your 20s?
Yeah.
So I'm 28, creeping up 29 in September.
Okay. But now, do you have like one of those cool guy titles before you get your latte, like Chief Experience Motivational Officer. Like, well, whatever these new age terms are. Well, what is your term at your new place?
Oh, it's TikTok client partner.
That doesn't sound as exciting as Chief Experiential and Satisfaction Officer. You know, everybody's trying to come up with, like, I tried to think of cool titles for everybody at Cliff Central once, but it became so frustrating because you can eventually call people whatever the hell they, you know, they want to be called. And I've never really been attached to titles. So the only time I ever say what I really do is if someone asks to have like a CV to introduce me or whatever. Like there's a paragraph about this long that I put together. It's like, this is who I am to people who've never heard of me before. And you'd be surprised how hard it is to actually write that paragraph. You'd be surprised how difficult it is to sit down and go, okay, these are the things I've done. This is the stuff I care about. This is who I am. It's hard. Like, you don't know what to call yourself. I don't care what the title is. With Cliff Central, I just go with founder because that sounds cool. And founders are all the rage all over the world at the moment. But like, what do you do? In the old days, you would have called yourself director or managing director or CEO. But none of those titles mean a damn thing to me. So you could call me Chief Shithead and I'd be fine with it as well.
When I was at Cliff Central, I went from intern to field producer to technical producer to producer.
That's right. That's exactly what happened. Oh, my God. All right. So everything's happening in your life. You've got into your third job now since the pandemic started. What do you think of people? I mean, it sounds to me like you move very quickly from one thing to the next, and it's pretty awesome that you – you're able to find something that you like doing every time. Some people complain, hey, they complain, oh, it's so hard to find a job. Oh, it's so hard to do this. I mean, like, I know what your, one of your characteristics is, because you used to work for me, and you're just not afraid of anything. You'll do anything. You'll do whatever it takes to do the job. And I think that that's probably something that's missing from a lot of people. They don't want to do stuff that is outside their wheelhouse. They don't want to do things that are unfamiliar to them. You'll learn on the job.
Very true. And I learn really quickly because I understand patterns and then sort of quicker ways of getting stuff done. Mm-hmm. And also to like getting the job. It's some people make it very technical where they have to phone every company, etc. So all these moves, I was poached on LinkedIn.
Okay.
And some of the strategies I used you just go on LinkedIn and you type in HR or talent acquisition, and you just start adding random people on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And then they start looking at your profile and being like, I actually have a client that matches this guy's description.
Right.
And then they'll just slide in your DMs. So that's a little hack you can use.
That's useful. I actually got onto LinkedIn yesterday, and Barrett, who works for us now, he's in our sales. He's our sales guy. I mean, talking about titles, I don't know what to call him, sales manager or whatever. So Barrett was saying to me, there's this thing that you do on LinkedIn, which tells you what your social value score or something is. And basically what it does is it takes your whole network and it figures out what your rank is in your own field. So, you know, in my case, it would be what, media or advertising or, you know, podcasting or broadcasting, whatever it is. And then it calculates out of 100 what your score is. And then it also calculates the average in your category. And then it figures out how you're positioned in your own network. So if I have like 11,000 connections on LinkedIn, then it'll rank me out of 11,000 and tell me how important I am, which is pretty, I mean, that's so weird because in the past you never got anything close to that. You'd have to figure it out while you were talking to someone, whether or not they were in a more influential position than you were, or whether they were, more important than you were in their company. Whether they were the kind of person who hired somebody or the kind of person who was hired by somebody. Now you can figure all this stuff out at the touch of a button. And, you know, he was showing me stuff that I've never seen on LinkedIn before. There are like pages you can get on LinkedIn that it's freaky, like what they've got going on there. It's pretty bizarre. It's like a social rank system. You get points. People decide how how much they need to or don't need to get to know you. It's pretty wild.
I'd love to know my social rank on LinkedIn.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find the link.
But having said that, something that I had forgotten about human beings, and I probably see it more in Joburg because I have to work with more people here than I did in Cape Town.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as people ask me what I do for a living,
yeah,
I know what people are actually doing is how much should I value, is that what they're really doing? Because I find it such an incredibly boring question. I always say I'm a cleaner. I have a stock standard answer now.
Yeah.
Because then I'd like to know what you actually think of me. Do we carry on?
You're a cleaner.
So I say to everybody,
when you tell them you're a cleaner?
They don't know what to do. I mean, it's like, because they can see what I'm doing. I think eventually they kind of figure out this guy's just a douchebag. But I'm like, okay, let's say I said I'm a chartered accountant. Are we carrying on the conversation? Well, mm-hmm. Like, why are you asking me what I do for a living? It's not the most interesting thing about me.
Yes, but it does help you figure, people aren't always doing it so they can pull rank. Like sometimes they're
commonality.
Actually. Yeah, but they're also doing it sometimes because they need to have some kind of handle on you. They need to figure out whether or not the next 10 minutes of talking to you is going to be useful, interesting, or not particularly fun. I mean, like if someone says to me, I'm a social justice warrior, or I'm an activist. I'm like, oh Jesus, I need to get away from this person immediately. Because I know that they, within 2 seconds of them telling me that, they're going to start to irritate me and annoy me. And I'm going to irritate them as well. So step away from the person with the activist badge on. Get away from them. Bad news. Not my scene. That's helpful.
Also, the people I can't stand, I loathe people that have, I'm a philanthropist. Sweet cheeks, you don't get a prize for just being a nice person. Who, philanthropist? That's not a job title. Being nice to people is not a title. Like, I expect that. I don't say to my mom, a birth giver. On like when I tell people, I don't go, birth giver, milk producing nipple haver. That's not something you put on. But that's, we're not doing that.
That's what some people want to call mothers because they don't like the idea of mother because it's gender specific. So they say primary parental caregiver. That's what they call mothers in, you know, in these in these very politically correct conversations, you'll see like the very PC people, they don't say mother. They go primary parental caregiver.
What is wrong with mother?
No. It's because what if you're a man, but you're playing the role of the mother? There was this dude you talk about TikTok. There was this dude who put out a TikTok video the other day. He's a guy, a big fat guy, and he's got big fat guy titties, and he was trying to breastfeed a child he had adopted from his man titties. And I'm thinking this is some kind of child abuse because this is a man doing this, but he's like transgender and his partner who's also a man is transgender. And the two of them are trying to like pretend to be basically it's role play. It's like cosplay. And the two of them are trying to breastfeed this kid, but neither of them have titties that produce milk. It's the dumbest thing you've ever seen in your life. And all of us are expected to go along with it. They're like, oh, well, I'm trying really hard. And the worst part is this guy has a speech impediment and he sounds like, so he's pathetic. He's this pathetic little man and not little, he's a big fat man. And he's like stuffing his big man tit into this poor child's mouth. And obviously the child's not going to get any sustenance from this. And I'm thinking the whole time, surely this is abuse of some kind? Because everyone is expected to go along with this person's role play, their cosplay, while they're pretending to be a mother. But they're a man. I lose all ability to be politically correct here. I'm like, nah, you're just a fucking disaster. There's nothing about you that's interesting or cool anymore. You are dangerous to society. And that poor child, like, what's that kid going to grow up with?
It can't be healthy.
Hell.
Mm. No, it's going on.
Like, even from a psychology perspective, once the child realizes that it's not a female breast that's producing milk, I think confusion kicks in as to why.
You know, there's a great saying for this. The great Richard Dawkins has an awesome way of putting this. He said, we should be open-minded, but not so open-minded that our brains fall out. Like,
oh, what dude. Is it? No, this is a real thing. This is a
but
very
the guy's
real.
Nip. Wait, let me show you. Breastfeeding as a man.
I'll show you a picture of him so you don't think I'm making this up because people will go, oh, Gareth, you know, what are you looking for the most outrageous thing on the internet this morning just to piss people off? I promise you, this didn't come up. It wasn't on my agenda today. Here is the actual picture of the person who's doing this and the poor child that is being traumatized from birth. Look at this. That's the dude.
Was this a real picture?
Look at that, dude. It's for real. It's not bullshit. This is a guy who thinks he can get away with this shit.
Are you sure that's a guy? Because those are some breasts.
I swear to God that's a guy. He may have had like surgery to make himself fake breasts, but he can't produce milk. This is a waste of the child's time.
What?
Yeah.
God's green earth.
I know. Try to be
quite interesting.
Try to have a sense of humor about it. Listen, it's interesting until you think about the fact that poor kid has to grow up with that nutcase of a man. Surely, like that person, child protection services will come and arrest you in America and even in South Africa, frankly, if you discipline your child. Like, let's say your kid is running around outside and you say to them, stop running around because there's something, you know, there's some dangerous thing on the lawn or whatever, and they don't listen to you, and you give them a smack. And like the next door neighbor sees that and they can call child protection services and your kid basically gets taken away from you. Or like a social worker pitches up and goes, excuse me, Mr. Flax, it seems that you smacked your child and that's not allowed. So we're going to be watching you very carefully for next week. Now, this guy should be watched by Child Protection Services, right?
Absolutely.
It's horrible. It's something seriously wrong with society. And the fact that we have to prioritize his role play over the child's well-being. That's a very depraved society that goes along with that crap. Very depraved.
It's because anything's permissible now. So any pushback, you're what? You'd us three would be called toxic, what would we call the Michael Flax? You'd probably know. You're in the TikTok world now. What would toxic men saying that man can't produce milk? No. There's biology, which is hard set. We're talking about, depending what you believe, shout out to the Jesus people. It's not actually 6,000 years. It's about 4.6 billion years of incremental steps forward to help the next generation survive. You don't get to decide what your nipples produce. No. Like, sorry. Nonsense. Sorry, pal.
And also, what goes on in your head is your business. The rest of us don't have to play along with it. You might think you're a fucking hockey stick. That's your business. The rest of us don't have to play along with your stupid hockey stick fantasy, you know? Unbelievable.
Yeah, so, this world's changed a lot since I was growing up.
Dude, and it continues to. And most of these nutcases are busy on social media putting out videos every day. Trust me. They're all busy. So Silas agrees with us. Silas says it's abuse. Sunri says, Achania cease. Tracy says, wait till he breastfeeds that kid when he starts teething. Diogenes says, does anyone ask if it's okay for the kid so that he can serve his sick need? Yeah, exactly. That's the point. Good Cop says, good morning all. Hey, Good Cop. Bulelo, you Nazi, says Graham. Bronwyn says, exactly, slap him. There we go. These are the kinds of comments that ordinary, you know, not completely self-absorbed people would make.
And also, what about the baby's rights? Because have you ever hugged anybody with long hair and then you get like just a little bit of hair in your mouth? The baby's probably going, oh, this is gross. I can't even speak whatever language. God. And now I don't even have, I don't even have the strength in my hand yet, sort of any dexterity to go, oh, let me take this hair out of my mouth because you're a disgusting, gross, fat man.
I don't know.
Poor baby.
It's so gross. You know what? Like people are just, everybody's just sitting around screaming. Not everybody. Most of us, you know, are getting on with our lives. There are a group of people in the world who are just screaming, love me, love me, love me. Pay attention to me, pay attention to me, pay attention to me. I didn't get enough love as a kid. Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. And it's ridiculous. Like we are not required to get involved in your fantasies and your psychological problems, right?
Yeah.
None of our business.
That's so true.
Anyway,
I got my own stuff going on.
It's unbelievable.
Some people just want to be like statement pieces that walk around on this earth.
They think they're a work of art. They think that they're there to be marveled at by the rest of us. And I'm sorry, we've all got shit. We've all got shit to do.
They want to be
and
like
not born interesting.
And stand out.
No.
Well said, Markle.
Anyway, so listen, now that we're able to drink again, as Simpiwe said on the show yesterday, are you planning anything for the weekend, Flax? Have you got any social plans? Because I think people are missing out.
So for some reason, all my friends are born in July.
Oh.
So I had a birthday party on Saturday, one on Sunday, one last night. I have one tonight. I have one on Saturday. It is the most expensive month of the year. I'm so sick of drinking tequila and buying birthday presents. At what age can you stop buying birthday presents?
Never, never stop.
Nobody needs presents. Don't get me started on this, Michael. You don't know what can of worms you've opened here. Nobody needs presents.
All right, here we go. All right. Bulelo, get it out of your system because I know that people think that you're curmudgeonly and angry, but you ain't seen nothing yet. Here's Mbulelo at his best when you talk about birthday presents or gender reveal parties. He loves those.
Oh, my God.
You have to buy presents for people. Yes, you do, for their birthdays, especially if it's family. If it's close, if it's really good friends, you have to buy them birthday presents. Come on, Mbulelo. You can't be that much of a miserable person.
Listen, I've always said I try and keep friends that are on my level. They don't have to be wealthy, but they must be working. I'm old enough now to have worked long enough to get all of the stuff that I want, right? Plus, I've spent 35 years living up till this stage. I know what I like. The only present I want, Marco, if you ever come, money. Because you know why? I already know what I want. And
you boring
by the way, bastard. Let me tell you the problem with presents is that the giver always makes it about them because what they want for you to go, oh my God, I love it. I want the right to go, I hate this present. Take it back. This is not what I want. Take it back. You ever done that, Michael? Because I have done it. And boy, oh boy, do people get upset.
I've done it once. And my auntie gave me a jersey which literally looked like a Technicolor dream coat. It was 50,000 different colors. And I said straight, listen, this is not my style. I'm taking it back. And she agreed.
No.
But you can be honest with people.
Yeah, Damon used
as
to
long money. As you have the receipt.
Damon
if
used
there's
to,
no receipt, you just accept.
Damon used to wear those jerseys that his mother made for him. And they were Naomi Calvary originals. They were like a rainbow as well. And he loved them. And they were like a character thing for him. But I understand. Like if someone gives me clothing that I'll never wear, I take it with grace. I never say to them, I'm going to throw this away as soon as your back is turned. I go, oh, that's so nice. And then I just put it in a drawer.
Back in the day, the standard gifts were either a Musica gift card, which you always lost and never used, or a Sandton City shopping card.
You know, I got speaking of these gift cards, I got a Sorbet Man gift card from somebody about 2, maybe even 3 years ago. And it was in my wallet, and it was in my wallet, and it was in my wallet, and I had it for fucking months. I never did anything with it. And then I went there a little while ago for a haircut, and I used the card. I had like, it was $400 or $500 on there that I hadn't used before. I thought I'd won the lottery. It was fantastic. Seriously.
They let you use it?
Yep. It didn't expire.
Is it cryptocurrency now?
Dude, I don't know, but I think I might even still have the card. There's still some money on there. But it was so cool because I didn't have to pay. I was ready to use the credit card and all that shit. No, they said use the Sorbet gift card. I used it and it was fantastic. I felt like I'd scored.
You know what else doesn't expire?
What?
Money.
Yeah, I know.
Apparently on a gift card it does. Those Sandton City shopping gift cards used to expire.
Money, Michael, give me cold hard cash. I keep it. I know what I like. I'll buy. You know what? If I wanted that that multicolored jersey you're on, I'd buy it. I have the money. I have. You know what? I'm parsimonious at the best of times. I've got disposable income. Don't worry about it, sweet cheeks. Give me money. I know what I want.
Well, right?
There we go. Problem solved.
Amazingly,
I want to come to your birthday so I can mug you because I know how much cash you're going to have.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A lot of people somehow are agreeing with Bulelo here. They're all saying, yeah. This is the right attitude to have because you don't want anything but cash. So plenty of people agreeing with you. I mean, here's Good Cop saying that that's what he's like. He also doesn't believe in presents. Just give him money.
Because I already know what I want. The thing is, I already know what I want. There's nothing anybody can buy me that I don't know that I want at my age.
But then why don't you just send out a gift list to your friends before your birthday of what you want?
Michael, there is a gift list. It's called my bank account. There we go. The ESC in there.
It must be so boring to be your friend when your birthday rolls around. You're scared to pick up the phone. You're like, oh, it's Mbulelo's birthday. What am I going to – maybe I should – should I call him? Should I not call him? If I don't call him, is he going to be cross with me?
It's going to be an expensive call. It's going to cost me $200.
Yeah, if I do call him, is he going to be annoyed with me? Like, what if I wanted to buy him a present? Oh, fuck, I better not buy him a present because then he's going to get cross. Like, you're a horrible person to be friends with.
I disagree because I make my point very clear to those that are close to me. Being born is not an amazing thing. Stop saying happy birthday like you've done something special. Keep
it is
living.
An amazing thing.
Be productive. Stop. You were born. You don't get a happy birthday.
You know what
you were born.
You know what we call people like you in Yiddish? We call you for criminus. You're a misery. You know, what a horrible life you lead if these are the kinds of things that that you get cross about. It's unbelievable. You're no fun
you're
at all.
You're celebrating the fact you made it another year in this world. You have no right to wake up the next day. No one is given that privilege. You need to be grateful every time you wake up in the morning or a year
I
goes
agree.
By.
Listen to Flex. Every day is a gift.
Flex, I'm with you. Every day is a gift, not my birthday. Like, wow, you were born. So is amoeba. Ugh. Like the amoeba. Lives.
Right.
It's every day is amazing.
Why is Bolalelo in such a bad mood, says Ashley. He's not actually in a bad mood.
Ashley,
this is how he is.
I had to look at my face in the mirror. Ashley.
Everything with Mbulelo is a social experiment. Even being kind to him is scrutinized. He needs to learn how to just roll with it. Spot on. That's exactly right. Graham says,
people don't even
okay,
have to
you
wish
Jehovah
you
Witness. Because, you know, like Jehovah's Witnesses, they aren't meant to celebrate their birthdays, right?
Yeah, they don't celebrate
anything. Why don't they celebrate birthdays?
No, that's just not a thing in their religion. They don't. They like. Oh, yeah, they like Mbolelo. They've institutionalized the idea of gift giving and making a fuss of people on their birthdays. CZ says, getting birthday presents just puts pressure on me when I have to buy presents for other people. It has to be in the same price range, and it is exhausting.
100%, tit for tat.
Yeah, if someone gets you a really great present, then you have to get them a really great present, right?
Yeah, but as you grow up, the presents you have to get people are more expensive. So you use herd mentality, where you just get a whole bunch of people in and you get something cool and you don't have to spend more than you did.
Yeah. Mbolelo deserves socks for his birthday. Ashley
says, wants a debit order for his birthday.
Ashley says, this is unpleasant. Let's move on. Ashley, you're not in charge of the show, so get fucked. Sven says, Mbolelo needs a puss club. I agree with Mbolelo, says Carl. Who gives a shit? Well done. You breathed another 12 months. Stefan says, what a nihilist.
Oh. What's a nihilist?
You want to take this one? You like this. Nihilist's basically someone who believes it's all futile. What's the point? Life is meaningless. There's no need to worry about this shit. Let's just die.
No, I'm the opposite of nihilist. Yeah, I'm the opposite. I overthink and the beauty of being here every day. So no, opposite of nihilist.
Right. Okay, let's do what Ashley said and move on anyway. There is some other stuff to talk about. So how's the Olympics going? Mbolelo, you're doing a sports show. Let's have a little Olympic update this morning. Give us some interesting stuff that's been happening in the last 2 days.
So I will say this. I've always said I'm a hypocrite. I'm happy to change my mind immediately when something goes well for me. Bianca Batendach, who we had on the show, actually, a while back when we started Cliff Central Sport, now a silver medalist in the surfing. So shout out to her and Victoria Bay. So, which is, I'm not surprised if anybody doesn't know. That is in the middle of nowhere, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So silver medalist. She rocked it yesterday.
Great. Matt,
so we got two silver medals now. And we're doing all of the things at the Olympics.
Fantastic.
Simone Biles. Yeah, that was awesome, dude. She's cool. She's also not like no ego, like small town girl. So yeah, we got to back her. I know now yesterday I did say there should be no surfing, but as a South African right now, I'll take anything.
Sure.
Yeah, that's positive. So
do we know which country has the most gold medals?
Right now, I think Japan are winning, but America are coming. I haven't seen the update. But America, now the swimming started, the track stuff's going to start. America and China are going to disappear. The gymnastics is going on.
I know I sound like an idiot here, but how does it actually work? Do you have an upper limit on how many people you can send to the Olympic Games? Or is it just however many qualify for a particular discipline?
Exactly. No, there's no, I mean, if you can fill up the lane 1 to 8 with, but listen, to qualify at the Olympics, to produce enough people to qualify, you've got to be. And listen, the Olympics are a good indicator of which countries take themselves seriously, because you can see who's kind of got the time to develop an Olympic team. You always look at that ladder for the countries that take themselves the most seriously. So you'll see China. America.
China take it super seriously. And Russia.
America.
The Russians take it. And America, yeah.
Russia took it a little bit too seriously. They did some what you may call state doping. So now they have to compete under.
Yeah, some of those. They've got to compete. Russians.
ROC. They are now. They're not competing under the Russian flag because some of the Russian athletes are competing under neutral flags. There's a whole scene there. Yeah.
Wait, did someone get caught doping?
Yeah, it's a little country called Russia.
The whole of Russia just always are doping.
Not sure if
always.
But it was a huge, so Flex, you like documentaries, you can go and watch the documentary. I'm not sure if it was on HBO or, anyway, so the doctor who is currently being held in, I think, by the CIA, so he comes on, there's a whole expose about the Russian doping for 2018,
so
I think it was.
So what is this shit about Simone Biles, who had to take a mental break in the middle of the team competition? What the hell is this all about? Since when is this a thing that people do? I thought she was this brilliant athlete that was going to win all the gold. Mental break.
Yeah.
You're at the Olympics. Get on with it. You don't even have a crowd to watch you. What mental break do you need? Do your work.
Crowds.
No crowds, because it's coronavirus. So they don't have any audiences.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Horrible.
Who's funding this? Are we funding them to be there?
No, well, not all of them, no, Michael. So just our guys.
Listen, here's the story. So this Simone Biles, she just walked out on her team.
She didn't just walk out on her team. You're making it like that. She fell did. First.
She needed a mental break. What's her problem?
Yeah, it's an. But you know where we're going as society now is if you dare even shout at a child, as you said earlier, if you spank your child, I didn't even know that was a thing. What they call child services now? Is that a real thing? Were you being serious about that? I caught that earlier.
Yes.
What children can call child services
on
to
their
say
parents? Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, that's
don't
why we
change
have,
the subject. So Naomi has, why did Simone Biles walk out on her team? It's her story.
No, so, listen, it's all coming from a lady called Naomi Osaka, who is the number one tennis player in the world at the moment. Naomi has refused to go to a press conference as a tennis player, and she said, my mental health, this, that, the other. And I always advocate for athletes, by the way.
Yeah.
But now is, again, this is the young society that I see, and I always employ young people, so I know what the mentality is now. Is they want everybody wants the good part.
None of the bad.
When you have to do the sour part, right? Come to the media. It's now mental abuse. Oh, take the $20 million that you're paying me.
Yeah.
So now it's becoming about mental health. Like, no. Listen, there must be some suffering in order to earn $20 million a year. So I know it's probably mentally draining or whatever, but sorry, man.
That's what you're there for.
You are getting,
get on with it. Do the work.
Do
the work.
Much is given, much is expected.
Correct.
And I have no empathy at all. The end of the day.
No.
If they need a time out to regroup.
Yeah, but then don't go to the Olympics then, you weakling. If you want to be in the Olympics, I'm not interested in your mental health. Do the goddamn gymnastics. Get on that horse or the what do they call it? What do they call the thing? The horse.
The vault.
Get on
that.
Get on there. Stop it. Me mental health. Shut up. You're at the Olympics. Do the Olympic stuff, please.
I totally agree. Like
what a nonsense.
Mental health is real, but if you're getting $20 million a year, do me a favor.
Carl says, for fuck's sake, Flex, catch a wake up. He doesn't know about the Russian doping. He doesn't know about the empty stadiums. The fuck? Maybe he doesn't care about the Olympics.
Much TV. I haven't watched the Olympics once. I didn't even know they wanted to be honest.
You know what I'm going to do? I feel like taking a mental break from the show. I'm just going to stop the show right now. How about it?
No, it's good. You must protect your... Yeah, you need a safe space.
I'll take a leaf out of Naomi Osaka or Simone Biles' book and just... I need a mental break. So I'm just going to dump the show and just switch off. I'm just going to end the broadcast right now. How about that?
Oh, you're so brave.
Stressful. That's why you go to the Olympics. If you can't handle it, don't go to the Olympics. You want the gold medals, but you don't want to have to deal with a little bit of anxiety before you do your event. Wah.
Do you just have one shot at the Olympics? Is it just one round?
You can if you time it right and your age is right and you're at your best form, you might be able to do two or three Olympics. I mean, some of the swimmers have done four.
Yeah, no, but once you're there, let's say this year, do you just get one swimming race and that's
yeah,
it?
Yeah, no, that's it. It's one. Yeah. That's the whole point.
Of course it's going to be stressful. You got one shot.
So then do it or don't.
This lady is the greatest. She's the greatest American gymnast of all time. I believe 9 gold medals already. So you're not talking about somebody who's just come through and it's like their last opportunity in life. She's going to make $10 million a year for the rest of her life, even if she stopped now. She's only 24 years old, Simone Biles. Hey, Flex, talk about, since you don't watch Olympics, how do you feel about this? A 13-year-old Japanese kid won a gold medal. She's now the Olympic gold medalist for skateboarding. Your thoughts, Michael Flex?
Probably doping.
All right. Okay. So there's we haven't got to headlines because the main headline this morning has to do with our guest that's joining us in a moment, Sean Sanders, who we know from Revix. Hey, Sean, how's it going, man?
Morning, guys. Yeah, that was such a good segue into the show. Talking about doping,
I know.
Like, it's literally been the stories of last week, like completely wild rides.
So listen to this. The price of some cryptocurrencies have surged this morning after retailer Amazon revealed it was hiring an expert in the field. Amazon advertised for a digital currency and blockchain product lead to look at how Amazon customers pay. And Bitcoin rose from $29,000 to more than $39,000 per coin on Monday, the largest growth it has shown in several weeks. Ethereum and Dogecoin also saw gains. However, Amazon has not confirmed any plans to accept cryptocurrency payments despite the speculation. But it looks like that's likely to happen at some point, right?
Yeah, so this is mainstream adoption, right? I mean, we are now living through it. It's quite exciting.
It is exciting.
So it was Amazon. I mean, Amazon has denied it, by the way. So they came out, and I should read to you exactly what they said. So they said, notwithstanding our interest in the space, the speculation that has ensued around our specific plans for cryptocurrencies is not true. We remain focused on exploring what this could look like for our customers shopping on Amazon in the future. I mean, kind of an interesting response. But yes, they still have this job post out there, and they are looking to explore digital currencies. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's not just Amazon that's getting involved in this space. I mean, there was the B Word conference that took place earlier this week.
Yeah.
It was all over the news. That had Elon Musk from Tesla, Jack Dorsey from Twitter, and you had Kathy from ARK Investments. I mean, they were all talking about investing in crypto. So you could
we know tech in crypto. We know Kathy, don't we? Everybody, you remember Kathy.
Kathy Wood.
Hey, old Kath, hey. She's a beauty.
So all of these people.
Kathy Wood is like this idol in the investing space, by the way. So when I refer to Kathy, it is like, you know, when somebody makes a joke about Karen. I mean, Kathy Wood is like the Warren Buffett, just the female version.
So, all right, this conference that they went to, what is it called? The B Word.
The B Word conference. It was actually hosted by Kathy.
Kathy. Yeah. She's such a mover. That's why
she wasn't picking up the phone, because I called her because we had a thing on. She was at the B Word.
You and Kathy had a date.
Yeah. With good old Jack and good old Muskie.
So what did that idiot Jack Dorsey have to say?
He is very pro Bitcoin. I mean, you've seen what he looks like. He is a very alternative sort of figure, but I mean, he's explicitly stated that Bitcoin is going to be a bigger part of Twitter's future. And it's already a big part of Cash App, which is the other business that he's involved with.
Yeah,
he's a proponent of Bitcoin. I mean, he kind of fits right there into the Bitcoin maximalist crowd. I mean, this guy, he is like, his life is into Bitcoin right now, which is really interesting. Good for us, good for our space. But yeah, he's an interesting character.
Well, that may be the only thing about Jack Dorsey I like, is that he's pro Bitcoin, because he looks like a man who's just climbed out of the trees at the moment, with that beard and that wild hair, and also that whole "Hey man, like I'm from San Francisco" talking slowly kind of thing. He's a Bitcoin maximalist, huh? And what about Elon? Did he clear up any of the confusion that he sowed over the last 6 months about Bitcoin? Because he's really been irresponsible. He's affected the trades in big ways.
Oh, massively. And it's not going to stop, right? Elon was pro Bitcoin. Yeah. He said this, Tesla would look at accepting Bitcoin again in the future.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? But the market responded very positively to that. But he can flip-flack, right? I mean, Elon just likes to get an audience. And at the end of the day, this is a big PR stunt for him. So we must just keep that in mind. The market will undoubtedly get some other interesting news over the next little while from Elon. So yeah, watch that space.
And don't respond to everything that these guys say. I mean, don't go and buy and sell based on them. Buy and sell because you know there's underlying value. That's what you've said from the get-go, right, Sean?
100%. Look at the long-term opportunity here. If this is going mainstream, I'm of the opinion it is. I mean, you're sitting at, what, $39,700 for Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
This is currently 10% of gold's market cap. If this is going mainstream, it's going bigger than gold. So you're looking at least a 10x, 11x return. Yeah, that is the long-term opportunity. Go look at or listen to some of the older podcasts that we did. They have exactly the same message. And I'm talking now 2 years ago on Cliff Central.
Right.
And the message is going to be the same in 2 years' time. I mean, this doesn't happen overnight. This is going to be a gradual process. And it's not going to just be Bitcoin, right? There's a lot happening in the space. The stuff going on in the Ethereum community. I mean, there's a few upgrades taking place there. Polkadot, Cardano, Tron. I mean, there's loads going on. And the space is weird. And I actually made a really good sort of remark earlier this week, which is like, it's kind of bizarre that we've got Gen Z coming up, but actually it should be Generation W, which is Generation Weird, because the things that people are interested in these days is weird, right? I mean, like, you're buying Twitter accounts, you're selling Instagram accounts. It's weird. But the future is going to be weird, and we think that you should tend to own a part of that.
Well, you rightly said just now, if you listen to an episode of one of our discussions with you from 2 years ago, you've been very consistent, Sean Saunders, I'll give you that. Very consistent. So what's going on? You guys launched a new product the last time we spoke. How's that going?
That's going really well. I think, I mean, we didn't exactly mean for it to be launched while South African protests and riots and looting and all the rest was taking place. But essentially, it was a US dollar savings vault where you could earn a US dollar-based interest rate rather than a measly South African rand based interest rate.
Right.
And it's been really great. I mean, a lot of South African customers have moved into the vault, and we actually want more people to get advantage or to take advantage of this, to experience what it's like to earn a harder currency. So what we're doing, which is a new promotion that we've just launched, is until the end of August, we are going to double the returns of anybody that puts money into this vault. So if you put 1,500 rand in, if you put 15,000 rand in, or you put 150,000 rand in, the amount doesn't matter. We want you to experience what it's like to earn this hard currency return.
Okay.
So we will double the interest rate that you would be receiving in this vault for a single month.
That's fantastic.
We think that's a pretty cool promotion.
Oh, who would turn their nose up at that? I mean, Bulelo was saying earlier he doesn't like birthday presents. He just wants cold, hard cash. So now he can put his cold, hard cash into your vault and earn the earn the interest on that at double the interest rate that he would normally get. Sounds like a no-lose situation. That's fantastic.
Now, that's a present. That now, the gentleman we're looking at, Mr. Revex himself, that's a gift, doubling my money. That is a gift.
All right.
There we go. So, I mean, guys, really, it's you don't have to enter a promo code or anything when you sign up. It's available to everyone on the Revex platform or that's new and wants to join the platform. And the weird thing is it's not in the crypto space. So this is actually, I mean, sure, you're making use of crypto-based products, but it feels, looks, tastes very much like a normal savings account.
Very nice, Sean. Look at you. You've gone back into banking. Who knew?
Ooh, no, I have not. I'm wearing a hoodie. So, no.
Oh, is that the way you can tell? Is that how you can tell someone's not in banking? They wear a hoodie. Okay, well done nonetheless. Yeah. And thank you for an update, which is always handy. And good news that we're almost up to $40,000 of Bitcoin right now. So it's definitely been a good week so far. It's only Tuesday. Let's hope it continues to rise. Very nice. All right, Sean.
Great, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, dude. Nice to see you. There's Sean Saunders, Revex.com. And remember, in a time where things are crazy and you don't need to be a financial expert to operate in the field, you just need to use your cop a little bit. And what you need to do is probably diversify. Revex allows you to effortlessly own a diversified portfolio of the world's top cryptocurrencies, which automatically stays up to date with the ever-changing market. And now there's a savings vault in US dollars as well. Sounds like a good plan. Visit them at Revex Invest, one word, R-E-V-I-X Invest. And they're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And you can sign up for free, verify your ID, add funds to the bundle of your choice, and start doing amazing things with your money. It's very good. All right. Well, when we come back in the next little bit, I want to tell you about my new obsession online. Because I was talking to Simpiwe about this yesterday at the office, and she's got the same obsession as me. And it's not even that embarrassing. The kinds of videos that I get addicted to on Instagram and YouTube, I'll tell you what they are just now, because I bet you I'm not the only one. And once you've seen one of these videos, you're going to want to see a whole lot more.
I can't even like imagine what it could be.
It sounds so cryptic, and immediately people go, oh, no, there's something dirty and filthy going on here. But Simpiwe and I had the most animated conversation yesterday. I went over, she was busy working in the only spot in the office that has sun. She was sitting in the only, you know, at that one window in Bulelo, there's the one window at the table, and there's a little beam of sun there, and she was sitting like a cat in the sun.
Like a lizard.
No. Yeah, like a lizard. She was sitting there in the sun, and she was using up all of that solar energy to power her through the morning, and we started talking about this thing, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, and she's not the only one who's into this, so we'll talk about it just now. Gold metal for metal. I think Alvain means medal for skateboarding. It's so ridiculous, like surfboarding in Olympic Games. How long before we'll have medals for swing ball and frisbee tennis?
No, shout out frisbee.
What is that? Is it Alvain?
Alvain.
You know, I gave my thoughts yesterday. I don't want to be too curmudgeonous. I'm actually having a fantastic day.
He's curmudgeonly like you, because Alvain says, "How about one for Boktrol spitting? The world's got bigger problems to address than sports events of this kind during a world economic crisis where nations are starving." Oh, come on!
I was with him till the end. I was with him till the end. Yeah, I was with Alvain till the end. The life still must carry on.
It's a W. It's Alwyn.
Alvain, okay. It's Mouton, so I'm assuming it's Alvain.
No, but Flex is, the Ike's in the north out here. Gareth, there's no Afrikaans out here, you know what I mean? It's Alwyn, but you come here, you come to my bra, none of that, gebleik, gemui, hey, Alwyn, come in, do you want a brisket? Do you want a cold one?
All right, Ashley says that she or he thinks that my obsession online is kittens. No, it's not. And it's not cat videos, good cop. And it's also not porn. Corona's boring. So I went to a live digital launch yesterday. This was pretty wild. It was for something called BritBox. We're actually going to talk to the guy from BritBox. It's like a it's like a Netflix of British entertainment, and it's available in South Africa. They've launched it. It's a collaboration between the BBC and ITV and a whole lot of the other British broadcasters. They're putting all their content into one big container and letting you have as much of it as you want. It's pretty damn fantastic. Cool. Yeah, it is cool.
Yeah, like Only Fools and Horses and all of that stuff.
Yeah, all the way back. Faulty Towers, absolutely fabulous. Pretty much my entire DVD collection. But the cool thing was I went to this online launch, right? So you log on at like 5 o'clock because that's when it started. And then you're at a table with other people. And you can actually talk to those people. You can switch your camera on and you've got your microphone on. And then you are basically doing a virtual dinner party. So you're sitting at this table with these people and you can chat to them if you don't want to switch your mic on. And then they do the presentation, which makes everybody shut up. So they you know, all your private conversations go dead and then you have to watch the presentation. And then they interviewed some stars of some of the shows. It was pretty cool.
Can you switch tables if you don't like your table?
I think, yeah, you can. You can move around. So I was at a table with Mark Pilgrim. And Mark Pilgrim, I don't know if you noticed, but if you follow him on social media, a friend of mine does, and she was sending me screenshots of him thinking I would be interested, but I wasn't. Listen, I like Mark Pilgrim. There's nothing wrong with the guy. We actually get along really well. But he went through this corona thing. He took everyone along with him on his corona journey. So he was hospitalized and... anyway, he got very sick. I didn't even know if he was hospitalized because I wasn't paying that much attention. But he got very sick, and the Rona almost took him by the sound of things. But he's there. He's fine now. He's alive and well. So I said to him, well done. You know, you survived the Rona. He's like, oh, thanks so much. You know, I was very worried there for a little bit. I'm like, yeah.
Is he the guy that did Big Brother?
Yeah. I think so. Cool. He was definitely – yeah, he did do Big Brother. Yeah, Mark Pilgrim, man. You know who I'm talking about.
The bald guy.
Yeah, don't make me go and find a picture of him now.
Anyway, no, I know exactly what he looks like.
So I'm very relieved for
him. Who else was at your table?
Very relieved he survived coronavirus. I saw Nina Hasty was there.
She's nice to have at a table. She's
funny. Who else was there?
Yeah.
A gadget girl, Claire. She was there as well. Mm-hmm. Duncan MacLeod, who's well known to...
Oh, there can only be one.
Who's that's Duncan MacLeod?
That's him. Duncan's he's got his own online business. It's quite well known, and he's been a fixture on the media circuit for a long time. He's a very sharp guy, Duncan. I like hearing from him. But Mulelo's referring to the Highlander.
Damn right. There can only be one. Duncan MacLeod. Let's go.
The Highlander was this was it a movie or a series? I can't even remember.
Both. Yeah. The movie was an absolute dumpster fire. They should have just let that original series, like, do you remember in the 90s when you had the long hair? I forget who played that character.
What was the story? The Highlander was immortal, but there were other people who were also immortal, and what you had to do was you had to cut their heads off, right?
So, yeah, something like that. And there was sort of a King Arthur kind of story, but there can only be one. Flex, if you don't know Highlander, you're welcome, Chief. You got some watching to do.
I'm thinking of like MacGyver or something.
Oh, Lord.
I think we're on different pages.
Silas says he's a Highlander. Don't you know Flex? Yeah, Flex is too young to get the reference. Don't worry, Flex. Don't let it bother you. So Gareth saying here that, didn't Mark Pilgrim also survive ball cancer? Yes, he did. That's right.
Didn't he then go start an ice cream shop or something?
Yes, he did. We interviewed him. I think you brought him into the... was it an ice cream shop or frozen yogurt, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He's good.
So
he's...
before we finish off the segment, I wanted to give a shout out to people like Sean because I read a really cool article about, real entrepreneurs that have actually had businesses going for 10 years that are South African.
Yeah.
So shout out to people like anyone in SA right now. I read this article last night. Anyone who's employing people right now after what we've gone through in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I just, I don't know. I was so touched by it because I always aspired to be an entrepreneur, and I thought it was just such an awesome thing to see these people through this time paying people full salaries or whatever they could afford to keep the business going, man. So it's just,
Thank you, Bulelo. Like, no one ever gives the employer credit. They're always talking about the employees, and you make a good point.
Yeah, no. I mean, let's keep it real. Everyone's about my rights. We must also thank those people. But to all the South Africans who are employing people, because, boy, we need it in this country. So please keep going. And those who are here that are staying and making it work, this article really touched my heart yesterday about these South Africans. Great. And by the way, it's not that's a color thing, because everyone always right. makes it right. that, right?
Stop it now, because it's you can't talk about employers this long. The socialists are going to get very upset with you.
There can only be one.
Yeah. Highlander. You must watch that TV series, Flax. You'll like it. All right. When we come back, I'll introduce to you my current internet obsession, and we can talk about whether or not there's something wrong with me for liking this stuff. All of that and more on the way. CliffCentral.com.